Welcome to Standing Firm, a Come Follow Me podcast. Here are your hosts, Jordan and Louis Onga. Hello, everybody. Whenever you've decided to join us, we thank you. Welcome to this very special edition of Standing Firm, a Come Follow Me podcast. This is a special Easter episode here on Easter week. And we're excited to join you here, as always, in the Standing Firm studios with Jordan. Jordan, what's up, man?
Doing so good. How are you doing, man?
Not bad at all. I'm excited for this week and excited to really dive into this and to help me understand more about Easter. It kind of worked out nice that we got the entirety of 1st and 2nd Nephi in before this holiday. And it is kind of like a first quarter break.
Yeah.
It's nice. So lots of great material this week in the Come Follow Me manual. So we hope that you get a chance to read through some of that. Wonderfully written words and just some great scriptural references too. As I've reflected on what Easter means to me, a fundamental question came to my mind. And it's a question that has varying and differing answers amongst the children of God, depending on who you ask and what the person's background is. And even though I know and can tell you the answer for myself, I'll share this foundational question. And I hope that everyone that hears it will ask it of themselves. And the question is, do I believe that Jesus Christ is my Savior? Now, if you answered yes to that, and I want to remind you that the Lord understands our journeys of faith. So a yes is still a yes, even when it's accompanied by all of the ifs, ands, and buts that we place as gatekeepers in front of our yes. However convicted you are in your yes, this, as a result of that answer, is the greatest of all the holidays that we celebrate. On Easter Sunday, we celebrate the atonement of Jesus Christ, and it means that everything matters. Our lives matter. Our choices in this life matter. Our promises matter. Our prayers matter. Our family tree matters. Our posterity matters. It all matters, and no efforts for good are wasted. The Lord has said, "Wherefore, verily, I say unto you that all things unto me are spiritual, and not at any time have I given unto you a law which was temporal." Everything matters. Everything counts. And that knowledge changes every single thing about this life.
What a great way to kick off the show. I think that Easter and Christmas is just that time of year that the whole world stops to recognize and try to find this Jesus. And I've really loved your words there. Lou, I wanted to go ahead and give a shout out to one of our listeners and someone who means a lot to me, a brother by the name of Joel Crockett. Joel,
yes.
Joel is such a good guy. Was one of my quorum advisors growing up in the youth program of the church, and he played a massive role in shaping my testimony and where it's at today. And I don't think that he really knows that, but I was able to hear from him this past week, and he shared with me a quote from N.T. Wright that I wanted to share here on the show. And N.T. Wright said, "Take Christmas away, and in biblical terms, you lose two chapters at the front of Matthew and Luke, nothing else. Take Easter away, and you don't have the New Testament. You don't have Christianity. As Paul says, you are still in your sins." And that really stood out to me this week, just the massive weight that Easter has at this time of year, as it's the ultimate tribute to the one and only Savior.
Wow, that really puts it into perspective. Thank you, Brother Crockett, for that. Amazing. When you think about everything that that means and everything that goes into that, for us to still be living in our sins. And that brings me nicely into this next point. Jordan, I'm going to spring this on you because I'm curious about the answer that you give. But what does repentance mean to you?
What does repentance mean to me? Well, first thing I think of when I hear the word repentance is it's an opportunity to change and turn to the Lord.
That's such a great answer. And believe me, there aren't many wrong answers here besides those that are glaringly wrong. But I'm going to read two things. One is a verse from 2 Nephi that we covered just recently, and the other is a quote from President Russell M. Nelson. The first one is 2 Nephi chapter 26, verse 11. "For the Spirit of the Lord will not always strive with man. And when the Spirit ceaseth to strive with man, then cometh speedy destruction. and this grieveth my soul. The quote from President Nelson, in coming days, it will not be possible to survive spiritually without the guiding, directing, comforting, and constant influence of the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind that that prophetic counsel, that prophecy was given in April of 2018. How does that relate to repentance? The answer is it has everything to do with repentance. Repentance is a word that we probably overuse in our study of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think the mistake is that we often think of repentance as a punishment of sorts. Think about where you would start if you were asked to give a talk about repentance. Likely you would start with seeking and receiving forgiveness from sin, and that's certainly part of it. But true repentance, like you said, Jordan, is all about turning our thoughts and our hearts and our actions and our labors toward God through His only begotten Son. A word that I like better, that I think applies to more people, is penitent. It means almost the same thing, but for members of the church who have been baptized and been given the gift of the Holy Ghost, being penitent has no connotation of punishment. It simply implies that every day, as often as we can, we turn our thoughts to the Lord. In return, we will have the guiding, directing, comforting, and constant influence of the Holy Ghost. It's stated and promised in the sacrament prayer each week. Have you ever seen Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade?
Oh, yeah.
If someone said, think of a movie that's 35 years old, that's not the one that I would think of. I would think of a movie that's much older. Nevertheless, that movie is indeed 35 years old.
Oh, my.
But in that movie, a line, only the penitent man shall pass. For a long time, I didn't really know what that meant. Now, I ask myself every single day, am I a penitent man?
What a great mindset to have. You know, I think that that mindset alone truly brings you closer to Christ. Moving on to a thought that I had. So for those of you who live here in the valley here in Arizona, the Mesa Temple for years has put on the Easter pageant this time each year. And it is truly something. Just the amount of effort and work and the detail that they go into to recall the matchless life of Christ is truly a testimony builder. And it's funny, when we were kids, I actually didn't like to go. The reason being is I didn't like to see firsthand, and it was the actor, but in my child eyes, I didn't like to look up and see Christ suffering. And I always thought, why did Christ have to suffer? Like, why? I wanted to go ahead. This is a huge chapter that Louis and I are going to visit later on this year. But in the book of Alma, chapter 7, verses 11 and 12, this is a very famous passage of scriptures in the Book of Mormon that teach in great detail of the purpose of the atonement that Christ provided for us. And I love here, I'll go ahead and read verses 11 and 12. As Alma, speaking of Christ, says, "And he shall go forth suffering pains and afflictions and temptations of every kind. And this that the word might be fulfilled, which saith he will take upon him the pains and sicknesses of his people." Verse 12, "And he will take upon him death, that he may loosen the bands of death which bind his people. And he will take upon him their infirmities, and his bowels will be filled with mercy according to the flesh, that he, Christ, may know according to the flesh how to succor his people according to their infirmities." And I love that for multiple reasons. One, in verse 11, just the power those last two words bring of his people. We are his. We belong to him. And Easter is a celebration of that. And I love in verse 12, it is mentioned the word succor. Why did he have to suffer? Well, the answer for that was he had to do so according to the flesh, that he may know how to succor us. So you think about a newborn nursing child and how the nursing mother is able to naturally know and produce what that baby needs at that certain time. And that is exactly why Christ had to suffer, so that he would know how to do that for us. And that's really stood out to me over the years. And I've been lucky enough to feel this, strength, you know, through my own experiences and trials and mistakes. I've been able to come to know that Jesus is able to do that.
Yeah, that's masterful. Jordan, I'm glad you brought up the Easter pageant. That's was such a big part of our childhood, you know, and yeah. Growing up in the shadow of the Mesa Temple. And so quick story about the Easter pageant. This is off script, I realize, but.
No, I love it.
So a few years ago, some of you might not know this, a lot of you do, but Jordan and I have a cousin. His name's Vaisikahema, Elder Vaisikahema of the 70. And shortly after Elder Sikahema was called as a member of the first quorum of the 70, he came back to Mesa to participate in a fireside with all of the cast of the Easter pageant. My wife and I got the invitation to go to this fireside. Jordan, you mentioned the actor that played Jesus. Well, Elder Sikahema gets up to the pulpit in this chapel where all the cast is, and all of the executives and producers that are part of the show were there as well. And one of them asked him, "So would you be presiding at this meeting?" And Elder Sikahema said, "Well, yes, that's normally custom. I would preside at a gathering like this." He said, "But then I look up and I see Jesus sitting over there in the third row." I'm sure that Elder Sikahema appreciates me telling that joke to our entire listening audience, but it was funny. Jordan, my next thought for this episode centers on physical death and the physical pains of this world, both things that come to mind in this season, things that cause us so much pain and anxiety, the pain that you just talked about. Both of us and likely everyone listening has felt the sting of death or the pain of ailment or sickness. We've either lost someone that's close to us, or we or someone in our lives is dealing with a physical or mental infirmity. Whenever that happens to any of us, we try to show our faith by reminding ourselves of the power of the Lord to heal and renew. We do our best to convince ourselves and others that the atonement of Jesus Christ will even the score and take away the pain. But even through all of this, the pain often remains. Jordan, on your social media yesterday, I saw a post about yesterday being World Down Syndrome Day. Our niece, Kate, was born with Down syndrome. See, I'm going to talk about Kate now, and this isn't going to go well.
The tear jar is going to be really happy.
Yeah. Kate is the best example that I can think of the Lord swallowing up the pain of this world. What was once devastating news and unthinkable darkness has become the brightest light and the beacon of hope and joy and all that is good, certainly in this family's life and in the lives of all those who know Kate. We'll have to ask John and Stacy if it's okay to post a photo of Malia Kate Lovai on our Instagram page. But that's the power of Easter and the power of the Savior's atonement. For me, all of it can be summed up in one verse. And the verse is from the book of Revelation, of all places. This is Revelation 21:4. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away."
It's awesome, man. I needed a breather after that.
Sticky.
Thinking about Kate the Great is what we like to call her in my house. And yep. Love her. John and Stacy and the boys, such a powerful story of faith. Love them. Louis, my last point I wanted to bring up is with Easter, anything tied to the atonement, you know, I think it's pretty safe to find a profound statement from President Jeffrey R. Holland, who's the acting president of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles in the church. Such a dynamic speaker and how he's able to freely testify of the Lord. And I want to go ahead and share a quote that he shared pretty recently about the Savior. As President Holland says, quote, "Jesus of Nazareth was and is the Savior of the world, the last Adam, the author and the finisher of our faith, the Alpha and Omega of eternal life. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And from the prophet Lehi, Adam fell that men might be, and the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time that he may redeem the children of men from the fall. Most of all, the Book of Mormon prophet Jacob taught as part of a 2-day sermon on the atonement of Jesus Christ that we're going to be getting into in the coming weeks, that the resurrection must come by reason of the fall. So today we celebrate the gift of victory over every fall that we have ever experienced. As one of his ordained witnesses, I declare this Easter morning that every sorrow we have ever known, every discouragement we have ever had, every fear we have ever faced, to say nothing of our resurrection from death and forgiveness of our sins, that victory is available to us all. Close quote. To wrap up my own thoughts of Easter, I only hope, Lou, that we can all adopt the attitude of Mary and the apostles that are talked about in the 20th chapter of John. The record shows that they did go forth after hearing the news from Mary Magdalene that Christ's body was not there. And I love how they responded. The record showed that they ran. They ran. It made me think about that phrase that you and I have both used often, Louis, in that right now we need to be in a state where we are in an all-out sprint towards Christ. An all-out, burnout effort to come unto him. I close my eyes and I can imagine the feelings of the apostles as they ran step for step towards the tomb, thinking if they took his body to suffer more affliction and disrespect, was he stolen by the very guards who took him and who took him? Or was he there? Was he alive? I'm sure that they had the very best and the worst of thoughts during that sprint towards him in faith, but I love that they moved quickly towards him and after receiving the word from another of him. And I think that this bleeds in perfectly to an invitation that Louis and I have. We would love to invite all of us to tune in to the general conference session of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They have sessions on Saturday, April 6th, and Sunday, April 7th. And that is an invitation for you to do exactly as the apostles did in John, and to come into him, to sprint towards and hear the words of Christ.
It's awesome, Jordan. We thought the best way to finish today's special Easter show would be to share a very quick quote. It's a testimony of Joseph Smith, the prophet, that both Jordan and I felt is also our testimony as disciples of Jesus Christ. From Doctrine and Covenants, section 76, quote, "And now, after the many testimonies which have been given of him, this is the testimony last of all which we give of him, that he lives." Our testimony is that he lives and that he is risen. That's all for this week. We're grateful to each of you for joining us on this special edition of Standing Firm, our Easter show. We're grateful for the great material that's been provided this week in the Come Follow Me manual, and we invite everyone to study that this week as you ponder on the events of this week during the last week of the mortal ministry of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The update on the tier jar, $10 added to the jar this week, which brings our total to $135 for the year for church humanitarian aid. That's all for this week. And thank you so much for joining us. Until next week, to Uma'u, stand firm. And we'll talk to you next week.
Standing Firm, a Come Follow Me podcast, is a production of Sierra House Publishing, LLC. The show, or any opinions expressed therein, are not affiliated with The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For a transcript of today's show, please visit our website at standingfirmpodcast.com.